Okay, we begin Parshas Balak, and of course the Gemara and Baba Basra notes that Moshe Rabbeinu Kasav Sifro B'Sifer Parshas Bilam. And why is Parshas Bilam singled out as being distinct from the rest of the Torah? So, Mori Barabi Rav Shechter would often quote the Briskerov, who would note that in regard to the prophecy of Moshe, we're told, Lo kam Navi od bi Yisrael ke Moshe, that there was no Navi among Am Yisrael who was at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara determines, as far as the Umos HaOlam were concerned, come, that there was someone who was able to arise. Umino Bilam, and who was that one? So that was Bilam HaRasha. So the fact of the matter is that, generally speaking, when we talk about the different levels of Nevius, that's not to see who makes the Navi All-Star game, but rather the point, says the Briskerov, is to tell us that we're not supposed to learn halachos from other Nevi'im. However, one might think that one could learn halachos from Bilam, because after all, he was at the same Madrega as Moshe Rabbeinu in regard to Nevuah. That's why the Torah tells us that when Bilam gave his Nevuah, it didn't have the status of Torah, right? It was called Parshas Bilam. It's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down, B'kedusha V'tara, that's when it took on the status of Torah. And that's when the point where we're able to be deriving halachos from it. Until that point, it just has the status of Nevuah of an individual, a very powerful level of Nevuah, but not a status from within which we're supposed to learn. So Bilam has this whole back and forth with the Ribbono Shel Olam as he tries to figure out what he's supposed to do and what he's not allowed to do. So he wants to go with the people because he's an interested in money sort of guy. But Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, look, Lo Sa'oras Ha'am Ki Baruch Hu. You're not supposed to curse the nation. Why? Because they're a blessed nation, quite honestly. Rashi comments that Bilam sought to bless the nation when he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to allow him to curse it. So that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, quite honestly, your bracha is also not welcome. It's like a bee. We say about the bee, lo mi'uktzecha, lo mi'duvshecha. We say we don't want your honey, we don't want your stinger. Now the question has to be raised, why would Bilam offer to offer a bracha to Bnei Yisrael? That's the exact opposite of what his mission was all about. Why make a bracha? So Moshe Wolfson Shalita suggests that Bilam and Lavan are actually the same person. This idea is not Rav Wolfson's. The idea is mentioned and brought down by Targum Yonah son Ben Uziel. And Rivka also was in Akara. And why was Rivka in Akara, says Moshe Wolfson? He says she was in Akara in order to make sure that when when Lavan gave her the bracha at the time of her chasana, Achuseinu Atayila Alfei Vavav Virash Zarech Ishare Vav, that she was made in Akara in order to prevent people saying that Lavan's bracha brought her fertility. So Bilam figured, look, if I give a bracha to the people, so then in the same way that in the past HaKadosh Baruch Hu held off fulfilling that bracha in order to prevent its association with a rasha like me, so to over here, the bracha is also a potential curse. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold off the effects of the bracha for the sake of me. So later on we find that Bilam HaRasha himself turns around and says, look, imitainly balak melo beso kesef elozav lo uchal avoras pi Hashem. In other words, this character, even in some way, shape, or form, whether we learn like Rashi that he had an evil intent, or whether we learn simple pshuta de mikra, the simple understanding of the pasuk, which seems to suggest that there was a little bit of awareness that there's a hashgacha elyona, that God runs the world. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that Bilam represents that complex personality of good and evil that are mixed together. The fact that most of us are a combination of good traits and talents with a desire to use them in a meaningful way, and also occasional desires and motivations that are less positive in our lives. So like Bilam was supposed to do, our job on the earth is to utilize these talents and to observe the word of Hashem, but at the same time to diminish the desire, or at least overcome the desire, to take our talents and use them for negative purposes. Lo sa'oras ha'am, right? We are not supposed to use it to curse out people. Our job is to use our talents for the best manners possible. Anyway, Vayihi Baboker, and it wasn't the next morning, so what happened? That Balak took Bilam and brought him Bamos Baal, He took him to the heights of Baal, Vayarsham Ktzeyaam, and there he saw the edge of the nation. Now, why did Balak show Bilam the nation? What was he trying to get through to him? Why not have Bilam curse him from home? So the Ramban explains that a person is deeply affected by what he sees. That Balak knew that the success the curse would depend on what Bilam sees, and so therefore he wanted to have the best view possible. And then when that didn't work, he kept changing his view, hoping that the change in the vantage point would actually change his ability and his success in his curse. Rav Olba Zatzal adds that we find a similar sentiment when Moshe Rabbeinu went atop the mountain to daven for the Jews in their war with Amalek. There also, the Ramban points out the power of tefillah that comes when somebody sees something. Rav Olba adds that even when we can't see something directly, we have the ability to picture something in our mind's eye, which enhances our experience and our amunah in the event. And that takes place all the time. When a person stands to daven Shmoneh Esrei, so either he can pay attention to his clock and see how much time has elapsed, or how much time is left to the davening, or he can focus and place his mind's eye on a place of inspiration, and Be'ezras Hashem, that will improve his kavana. Vayiftach Hashem espia ason. We find in one of the most amazing moments in the Sedra that God opens the donkey's mouth. And the Mishnah includes the donkey's mouth among those things that were created on Erev Shabbos. Now, of course, there's a fascinating Ibn Ezra over here who entertains the possibility that the donkey may have spoken, may not have spoken, Sekadai Ibn Ezra, which I don't want to focus on now. But the question has to be asked, why would Hashem create a mouth for a donkey to speak to Bilam? And why would he bother reporting the story to us? What difference does it make to you and me? The Rosh Yeshiva at Landers, the Rav and the Aguda of Passaic, Rav Yonason Sachs, Shalita, offers a thought based on the comments of the Haggadah Chachmei Yerushalayim. The Haggadah Chachmei Yerushalayim asks the question, why is it until David HaMelech declares, Hallelujah, Hashem, Kol Goyim, Shabchu, Kol Ha'umim, Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdo, that the nations of the world should offer thanks to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Am Yisrael received Chesed. It seems sort of strange. Am Yisrael received the Chesed, so Am Yisrael should be the ones who should offer thanksgiving to the Ribono Shel Olam. So the authors of the Chachmei Yerushalayim Haggadah explain Al Derech HaMashal. The Mashal goes as follows. If an individual was blind and regularly made his way to the market, he did so by counting his steps. Let's assume one day a bunch of kids wanted to put a stumbling block out in front of those steps in order to trip the individual. Lo and behold, on that particular day, the individual forgets his wallet. And so, he has to retread his steps, head back home, pick up his wallet. In the interim, somebody else shows up and moves away the stumbling block. The individual himself never knows that there was something in front of him, but the people who are watching, they know that there was something there that of all days made today the day that he was going to forget his wallet. That's what we mean, Halleluah Hashem Kol Goyim. The fact of the matter is that everyone else knows that there's a time and a period that leads us to understand that there are moments in time that we don't understand, Dashgach El Yonah. Rabbi Sachs adds that that's exactly why we have to offer thanksgiving to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we found out that he opened the mouth of the donkey. We don't always find out all the amazing things that happen, and so therefore the times that we do see our HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing Nisei Nisim, we have a responsibility to open our mouths and offer thanksgiving in the process. Ka'esi Yam El Yaakov Yisrael Ma'Po'al Ke'al, one of the nevuos that Bilam offers, one of the brachos, is that he says, at this point it should be said to Yaakov and Yisrael what Hashem has wrought. Rav Uvadia Yosef in Tavshinayin Aleph, Shatzal, explains this pasuk in Nevuah by pointing out that Bilam was perplexed as to the secret of the success of the nation, because he wanted to exploit that success. He wanted to show how it could be used negatively. But the problem was Bilam couldn't discover it. Ma po'al kel, what was the point in creating it? This was no surprise to Rav Ovadia, who chose to explain this pasuk with a story about the education minister Lilienthal, who was the educational minister under Tsar Nicholas. He was unsuccessful at getting the Jews to enter the secular public schools instead of attending the local shtetl cheder. He discovered that the people were not willing to break the ruling of the rabbis, including Rav Hitzlah of Volozhin, and Rav Shalom of Lubavitch, who signed an edict and said, you must send your children to the Chadorim and not be influenced going the other way. So the minister, Lilienthal, summoned all the rabbis to the palace. In the midst of ranting at them, yelled, I don't understand, I'm offering your people everything. A future, a way to get ahead, a way to find the culture, or a way to assimilate into their country. Why do they not want this? If they don't want this, what's the point of being a Jew? At that point, all the other rabbis, Rav Ovadia, when he tells the story, says, they all put their heads down. Except, of course, for Rav Hitzlah of Volozhin, who began to smile. So the minister challenged Rav Hitzlah. Rav Hitzlah explained, that's exactly what your Navi Bilam says. Kaisi amel Yaakov v'Yisrael ma'po'alel. At that point, they'll say to Yaakov and Yisrael, what did Hashem do in making a Jew? And he adds that the next pasuk notes that when that happens, Heinam kelavi yakum v'lekari yisnasa, the world better watch out, because as a nation can rise like a lion and doesn't rest until they get their prey and destroy their energy. That is out to question, then destroy the enemy that's out to question their right to exist. That's our responsibility that we need to understand. These things are going to be issues. And there will be issues that will come up in our communal lives, but our responsibility is to understand what we are doing, how we are doing it, and to understand that in the process of knowing what we do and how we do, we are going to always have a future in the process. At the end of the Pasha, though, B'nai Yisrael falter. We find that the Zimri ben Salu brings in front of his brothers a Midianite woman, Laine Moshe, Laine Koladas B'nai Yisrael, Laine Bochim Pesach Oal Moed. We find the people all crying. And the Midrash over here speaks poorly of Moshe Rabbeinu's crying here. In fact, it's because of this crying and inaction that the Midrash says, Lo yada ishas kvuras wada yom hazeh. But the question has to be asked as to why this is seen as a punishment, and for what is Moshe Rabbeinu being punished? So the great Gaon Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, suggests that when one is nis'atzel, when one is, it doesn't mean that he is lazy, it means that he didn't seize the opportunity in front of him to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. That's not always as a result of laziness, it just means that we let something get by. We need to strive in our service of God to maximize those opportunities that are presented to us, not to be lazy, not to let them go by. We need to strive for the best in all areas in the service of Hashem, whether it's in the Torah study, in tefillah, in our interpersonal relations, and we have to recognize that failing to do so is not merely a lack of tzidkus, it's a shortcoming in avodas Hashem, and it's one that we need to correct. That which is possible for us to fulfill is a chiyuv for us to fulfill, says Rav Aaron in his regular, inimitable style. The Torah recognizes at the end from Micha, "Higid lecha adam atov u'ma Hashem elokecha doresh meimach ki emasos mitzvah v'avas chesed v'atznei alechesim elokecha." People often confuse the idea of atznei aleches or tznius with that of actions. But ironically, it's the altar of Kelim who explains that tznius is about a way of living a life wherein one doesn't flaunt any aspect of his zero being, whether that's physical attributes or talents, or even just the concept of spirituality. I'm not showing off my frumkeit. That's also part of an issue that is private, as that would imply that the person was accepting it as his own. The real aspect of Atznei Aleches is an awareness that whatever we hold on to really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way we choose to relate, and the way we choose to be, and the way we choose to act, it relates back to Him directly. Maariv Rabbi Roshach there always points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mestater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself acts with this degree of Tznius, and in our lives we need more of it as well. Shabbat Shalom to all.